Welcome to the Student Union, everyone. I'm your host, the Chancellor, Pastor Marcus Sill. Great to have you with us here on the campus of LCMSU. Hope you're all off to a great spring semester. Yeah, I know that doesn't really feel like spring. Today we're going to talk about religious liberty. Is it worth fighting for? We are here in the Student Union this week with a student, Claire Hauser. How are you doing, Claire?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Nice and toasty warm with a balmy, 52 degrees down here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Where are you at and what's the weather like where you're at?
I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm happy to say that it has been above the negatives lately, so that's pretty good.
Wow.
It's pretty warm for us.
Yeah, I cheated a little bit. I knew where you were. I just wanted to make you feel guilty that it wasn't as warm as where I am. But good to have you here. And you're in St. Paul. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where do you go to school? What are you studying? That kind of thing.
Yes, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. I am currently a junior at Concordia St. Paul in Minnesota. I'm studying political science, and I'm also a soldier in the Army National Guard.
Now, political science, what is it that you kind of hope to do? It's awesome that you are serving in that way. How do you work with that in terms of a political science degree? And what are your hopes for the future? And how does this affect your schooling? Do you have to be gone on a lot of weekends?
Well, for my future, I actually hope to plan on doing the deaconess program at Fort Wayne after I graduate.
Awesome.
I would love to be some sort work in the synod in some political sort of way. That would be great. Just being in the Army, it does affect weekends. So sometimes I have to catch up on homework on Friday nights so I can work during the weekend and then be back at school. And then I have had to take semesters off to do training. So actually had to take my spring semester off of my freshman year to do about 7 months of my job training. I'm a signals intelligence analyst, so that's
okay. Don't say anything. I don't want to get you in trouble if you say too much.
No, it's fine.
We will have no intelligence around here.
Yeah.
Okay. And so tell us about your interest in political studies and political science. Why that for a major? What kind of got you latched onto that as a major at school?
Well, prior to me really deciding about doing the deaconess program, I had thought a lot about, I really loved being in the military and my job. So I really wanted to be either a lawyer in the military or work for the NSA or FBI or some sort of that field.
Mm-hmm.
But then I kind of realized I'm very theological and I would love to work for the church, but I also love, learning about government and state and all those aspects. So I didn't think there was really anything for me to do in the church. But after talking to several deaconesses who have, the deaconess, it's a broad job description. So after talking to several deaconesses, I realized that maybe I could, work for the synod in some sort of way that also dealt with politics or the government. So,
well, as we all know, going forward with the attacks that we have in terms of religious liberty, and that's what we're going
absolutely
to talk a little bit about here. There will be plenty of opportunities, unfortunately, down the line for you to be involved with a lot of mm-hmm. things like that. I know I've always had a deep interest in political science, and frankly, as I look at the landscape here, we need all types serving in the church. But I think that the skill set and the interest that you bring certainly will be an inspiration for many. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, others consider going into the political science fields and using their the relationship between their life of service in terms of both kingdoms to full advantage. So, you know, many kudos to you for that. We're very proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. I look forward to, you know, my future in that some sort of way.
Now, you must have grown up as like an army brat then, right?
Yeah, a little bit. That's my dad was definitely a big influence in me joining the army. He's a Lutheran chaplain in the Army National Guard. I wasn't a total military brat, but I think I probably was more of a pastor's kid than a military brat. But that was a big influence in me joining the military.
Well, that's so. You know, kudos to him too. If he's listening, I'm sure he is because his daughter's on the radio. Thank you also to all of our chaplains and everyone out there that that's quite the role for many of our pastors to have, and can't have enough respect for it. So anyways, well, that's fantastic. So you're a junior at Concordia University, St. Paul. And one of the reasons why we have you on the program today, and you've already you haven't had to wait till you become a deaconess to kind of get involved. You were chosen as one of four free to be faithful young adult ambassadors. In fact, you wrote an essay entitled Religious Liberty, Essential for a Free People. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And you had a chance to go to Washington, D.C. for the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty, kind of a conference. Tell us about that experience. What was that like to go to D.C.? What was that all about?
Oh, it was fantastic. I had only been to Washington, D.C. when I was, I think, in sixth grade, and that was as a family vacation. So really seeing, the capital of our nation after I had, you know, really gotten to love how government works and how the, you know, state works was really good. But it was, it was a little bit bittersweet. So it was sweet because of that. But it was kind of, it was unfortunate to be going, you know, in the light of how religious liberty is thought of in our country. So, but it was excellent to hear. I mean, I heard so many great speakers. Molly Hemingway is one of my idols. So I got to meet her and listen to her speak. So that was fantastic.
Be careful, First Commandment issues here.
Oh, yes. Yes,
although I agree.
Absolutely.
We certainly need an entire generation of we need a Jedi force of Molly Ziegler Hemingways in the future.
Yes. Yeah, she's fantastic. So, there were excellent speakers, and it was great networking with other Lutherans who were also concerned about, you know, the religious liberty topic. And it was good to meet also other college students who were as passionate about it as I am. So,
well, and we also had, I was there as well, and I was tasked with kind of hanging out with you four, and I would have done that anyways because it's kind of what I do. But
yeah.
I thought it was one of the highlights for me was actually going over to the Alliance Defending Freedom office. For those of you that don't know, Alliance Defending Freedom is really kind of one of the main groups, kind of a political legal assistance group that helps keep an eye on a lot of these religious freedom issues and is a really kind of a go-to place. What was that like going over there? Was that kind of an eye-opener, at least kind of a, I thought it was wonderful to just feel like, wow, even if we don't, as Missouri Synod Lutherans, you know, have an awful lot of people doing this, there's certainly the cupboard isn't bare in terms of where to turn.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't even know about that organization. So to see that was really a boost, just to see that people were defending, you know, religious liberty. And even though they weren't Lutheran, you know, it showed that we can, work together with other, you know, maybe Roman Catholic or conservative Protestants on defending, you know, our right to hold the faith that we have. So that was really excellent.
Now, when we talk about your religious liberty article, the essay that you wrote, Religious Liberty, mm-hmm. Essential for a Free People, and I will post on the website, I'll push it around. I haven't done so yet of where you can go and read this. But let me just read, I got a chuckle about the first paragraph, and I want to get your take on this in terms of, this is a great first paragraph. I'm just going to read it here. This is so hateful. That was the response to a Facebook status I posted in which I clearly spoke out against same-sex marriage. As this was a public forum, I expected controversy. One person even unfriended me because of my religious viewpoint. What I didn't expect was that the hurtful response would come from a source I admired and respected, my older brother. Wow. Tell us more. I got to hear more about this.
Yeah, I was a little bit on the fence about whether putting that in, but I really thought it spoke just about where we are as a country. And I think a lot of people could relate to having a close friend or even a relative not share their viewpoint.
Sure.
Especially college students who, you know, are getting to know people from, you know, all over. So, yeah, that was rough. That was hard. I knew my brother had different, you know, viewpoints, and his faith was different than mine. But he just posted, you know, he commented, and it got several likes from other people who don't necessarily share the same viewpoint as me. But yeah, I think, and then a lot of people also asked me about that. They're like, oh, that's your brother, you know, but aren't you, you know, part of a pastor's family? And oh, you know, how did that happen? Sure. So I find that
very endearing, because there's so many people that because views are so widespread on especially this whole same-sex marriage issue, people are timid and we're afraid to say anything. I myself have a sister who's an Episcopalian priest, and we don't agree on probably most anything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's always this this thing where, well, I better not say anything then. Better not bring something up at Thanksgiving. Better not. And I actually think that makes it rather authentic. That I hope your brother and, you know, you guys are getting along, right?
Yeah, on everything else we are.
And if not, can you take him? That's what people really want to know.
If I could take? Well, he is my older brother, so I have to be a little bit careful. Okay. But
I don't know.
No.
You've run you got to keep quite the regimen. Now, do you enjoy all the running and all the PT and that kind of stuff?
Yes. Some days. I have to work out every day of the week at 6. So I like to work out. I don't like necessarily waking up that early. But, that is definitely a big part of the military, staying in shape.
Well, the one thing that's true, if it's below zero in Minnesota at 5 a.m., it's no different than at noon. So either way, you're going to be cold. Yeah. So you might as well get up and get something done. Another thing that you point out here, and I thought this was fascinating, that you point out that during basic combat training, tell everyone, they don't have the article in front of me, I'm not just going to sit here and read it, but about the situation that you had with your drill sergeant in terms of whether or not, you know, what you had to do on Sunday morning. Tell us about this.
Right. Well, basic training for me, we worked every day. So, or at least Monday through Saturday, we were always training. And then on Sunday, it was kind of like a rest day, but it was basically you were cleaning and you were doing, I guess, the, you know, what you would call housework, you know, or stuff you have to do. So, but they did offer church services. So the first week I was there, they're, you know, saying, oh, they offer a, you know, a Roman Catholic service and a Protestant service.
Sure.
But you should basically not attend because, you know, there are other duties. And this is what really shocked me, is my drill sergeant said something along the lines of, if you don't have or if you believe in a God who doesn't think it's acceptable, you know, to miss one service, then you shouldn't believe in that God anyway. And although, you know, we believe in a forgiving God and, you know, you don't have to go to church every Sunday, I was just in shock that, you know, he would say something like that in such a, you know, say such a negative thing about going to church. And
he kind of said what he needed to say, you know, oh yeah, we have this opportunity, but you're not really going to do that, right?
Is that kind of basically, yeah. And I, being the rebel I am, and the Lutheran that I am, was like, well, that's not going to stop me just because. You know.
Oh yeah, okay, but that's the wrong service, right? That's the Marines.
Well,
anyway.
Oh yeah, that's Marines. Okay. We're Hua.
Well, we're military ecumenical here. We have all of our armed services people, but
right.
No, but the, I mean, well, kudos to you for, you know, for sticking your ground. Did you get in any trouble?
No, I didn't get in any trouble, but it was, I got behind, so I had to work a little bit harder to catch up with what people had accomplished while I was at church, but.
Well, that's.
But other than that, I didn't get in trouble, so.
Well, you know what? Regardless of whether or not that gentleman is a Christian or whatever, or other people that are there, that they might have seen this. I mean, that's a very powerful example. Not that you do it for that reason. You're probably like, hey, I just want to go to church. I mean, this, there's a time and a place where we all might be, you know, might have to. I mean, if we're under attack, you don't say, excuse me, but I can't defend my country. I have to go to church. But at some point, you know, you gave a very powerful witness and an example of why this is so important. In fact, you go on to say religious liberty is essential for a free people. Religious liberty is essential for a free people. What do you mean by that? I agree, but flesh that out a little bit. Why is religious liberty so essential if we seek to be free as a people?
Well, I mean, religion in general is such a foundation for people and the way they live their lives. So to say to someone that you can believe what you want, but you can't practice it doesn't really make sense. You know, like your religion defines how you act and how you live. So I think it's a little bit hypocritical, you know, especially being in the military. I like to think of myself as someone who, you know, fights for freedom to deny religious liberty to people, because that's such a core being of someone who they are and what they do and how they act. So, yeah, that's basically what I meant by that.
Well, and you know, when you get down to religious liberty, it really gets to the idea of liberty in general. To me, it's almost the two are synonymous, because, you know, obviously, everyone gets upset at the idea of anybody telling them that they have to believe at all. You know, there's a whole cadre. I mean, we have an increasingly growing number of atheists and agnostics in our country. And at the same time that we don't want to, you know, that you're willing to stand up and fight, figuratively speaking, for the opportunity to go to worship. Shouldn't we also, in a way, be willing to fight for those that don't want to have to worship? I mean, the two kind of go together. It would seem to me that's why religious freedom. And of course, there's always this debate in this country. It's not, you know, whereas Christians always pointing out, you know, the point isn't, you know, the atheists want to make it out that we're supposed to be free from religion. No, that's not the case. The whole point is what? What is the whole point of this religious freedom and the separation that we have?
To go off of that, even if we had this country that forced everybody to be Lutheran and believe the, you know, doctrine and truth that we believe, people still wouldn't, you know, believe it, or at least not all the way. There'd still be, you know, the unfaithful. So to have that religious liberty or that environment where we can share the word with others and share, you know, Christ's gospel, I think is the best environment, I mean, for the Holy Spirit to, you know, work with that, to work with the word and with the people, instead of this hostile, you know, the majority is right kind of view. So,
you know, that's an interesting idea. You know, everyone must be Lutheran. If that came to be, you know what? I would wager to think, I mean, I don't even need to wager. I bet we would be on the fight of fighting against that.
Exactly.
Now, that would be an interesting quandary, wouldn't we? We'd be fighting against this idea, because we're not interested in compelling people to believe. That's not how the gospel works. What we want is the environment where the gospel can flourish, so that you can have the opportunity to proclaim it, to speak it, to have access on campus, to have access on, you know, to worship services on our military bases. And that's really why that whole issue that you bring up in your essay is so important. Because really, it's deeper than just whether or not you can go to church on that specific Sunday morning. So, do you see a lot of, I mean, sometimes people bring up the question: Are we in an age of persecution? And obviously, we see overseas with ISIS and whatnot, and there's clearly very, very serious persecution going on over there. But in what ways, I mean, maybe we don't have a hard persecution, but don't we in kind of a way have a soft persecution going on? Do you see that? Maybe you don't see it at Concordia St. Paul, at least I hope not. But in what ways do you see that we're actually, the persecution is coming, but maybe in a little bit more milder ways?
Yeah, I definitely think it's not as strong as other countries might be, but I think it could possibly be leading towards that. That's kind of my whole point of sharing those two stories at the beginning of my essay about, you know, my brother and my drill sergeant, was that although it's not enforced, you know, people still have this assumption that, you know, as long as you keep your faith between the four, you know, walls of your church and your house and never ever talk about it in public, then that's religious liberty. Like, and we have that as a country, so we're fine. But I don't think people really realize that faith, you know, or religion isn't just, you know, what I believe on Sunday, but,
sure,
you know, how I act.
You.
Oh, absolutely. So I think it, in some aspects, there is kind of that soft persecution of you can't practice this aspect of your faith because I don't agree with it, or maybe it affects other people or offends other people. So
it's interesting that, and I didn't bring this up when we talked a little bit before we called you up to have you on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't mention which political candidate said this, but the other day, one of the political candidates on the GOP side was asked by an atheist who said, you know, you actually wear your faith on your sleeve, and I don't really want someone that is going to push their Christianity on me. Why should I vote for you as an atheist? What do you have to offer me? And the answer that the guy gave, and again, I don't want to, as soon as I mention his name, then we'll go off into some people go, oh, you're being political. I will say it was not that Gilmore guy that nobody knows who he is. So that's the one little, the one little news item I will break here. But
exactly.
His answer was actually phenomenal. He not only talked about his faith, and he said, well, I believe that America is a place not to be free from religion, but to be free to practice religion freely. And that I have the right to believe what I believe and to confess it. And it's a total part of who I am. I can't set that aside any more than I could say that my family is important or anything else that's a part of my life is important. But the reason why you as an atheist should want me as a Christian to be president is because, frankly, I believe in a God that believes that we should look after those that are disadvantaged. I believe in a God that doesn't view ruling on this earth in terms of power, in terms of getting our way and reigning with the law. I don't believe in persecuting those. I believe in a God that doesn't believe that we should persecute those who disagree with us. So if anything, if I'm you, he is basically saying, you should feel completely comfortable with a Christian as president because we are not going to persecute you because you, for the same reason that I believe that I should be able to have my views is the same reason why I want to defend and I will defend you in having your views. I mean, isn't that really kind of what it's all about?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that just shows, I don't have any examples offhand, but I know of several Christians who might also be fighting for other religions to have religious liberty as well. I think that's why you'll find other Christians who are like, oh, this person's being, you know, persecuted because they're a Buddhist or, you know, or sure, they practice, you know, the Hindu religion. And you're like, oh, strange, but you're a Christian. And, you know, I think that's why it's important to also, I guess, to get with other maybe denominations and, I mean, truly fight for religious liberty. So
no, I mean, we need to be, and I pledge it, you know, with the development of LCMSU, I mean, religious liberty is going to be a big part of what we're about. And I just noticed that we just have about 20 seconds left here. And anyways, I want to thank you, Claire, for your service, not only as a young adult ambassador, but your interest in political science and your faithful example that you have given to so many people. And you truly are a hero in many ways, not just in terms of your service to the country, but also in your service, your future service to the church and your service even mm-hmm. now. So anyways, great to catch up with you. Stay warm. And we'll look forward to talking to you down the line. Thanks for being on the Student Union today.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Hey, have a great rest of January, everyone. Many thanks to Claire for her service. And God bless all of our servicemen and women, as well as all of you student soldiers out there who seek to defend religious liberty. If you missed a show, check out the archives at kfuo.org. And remember, wherever you are always welcome here at LCMSU. College is tough. Do you need Jesus? We'll help.